Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino here with our double Survivor exit interview here today following last night's jam-packed double Survivor episode. And so today we are going to be talking to the two men who were voted out of Survivor last night. That would be Alec and Carl here on the exit interview. So we're going to have both of the boots from last night here on the double exit interview. And then I will be joined by Jordan Kalish for this week's This Week in Survivor History quiz, where I'm going to take on another survivor, Jacob Derwin. So three survivors here with me in one podcast for you here today. Then we're going to switch gears to talk to Todd Herzog today. I've got the voicemail show coming up with Rourke Luskin over the weekend. So lots of great stuff. And of course, really fun know-it-alls again with Stephen Fishback last night. If you have not checked that out, that is up on robhasawebsite.com. Before we get into everything, talking with Alec first, just want to quickly mention, feel free to do some holiday shopping as you're listening to the podcast. Don't want you to get all bored and zone out like Alec was doing when Christian was going on and on during the immunity challenge last night. You could use our link for our Amazon storefront page. Head over to amazon.com/shop/RHAP. Lots of great deals on Amazon. You don't need Angelina to negotiate them for you. They're already there when you do your holiday shopping at amazon.com/shop/RHAP. And you do help support Rob's podcast in the process because we get a small commission for everything you purchase when you start off with that link, also on robhasawebsite.com. All right. We have Alec on the line. Let's go ahead and patch him in. Alec, good morning.
Woo, Robbie!
How you doing, buddy?
What up, dude? Chilling, dude. How are you?
Yeah. I'm hanging in there. We've got to talk about everything going on in this double episode of Survivor from last night. And so tell me, when you went to that tribal council, did you know that it was going to be you? Or were you thinking that one of these plans that you were working on with the other side was going to come out?
Yes, I knew it was going to be me, 100%. Yeah. I knew it from, I mean, you know, you played the game of Survivor. I don't know if you can relate, but you wake up with that feeling. I don't know if it's Survivor gods or what it is, bro, but like you wake up with a feeling just knowing you're on the chopping block. And just, I had this feeling. I'm like, yep, it's me. Mm-hmm. I did everything I could. Like you saw me scrambling and I tried. But Kara, myself, Allison, we were all super close, and they looked at me, and they just shook their heads before tribal council. Then I was just like, okay, it's going to be me. So I tried to, like, plead my case, but yeah, I knew.
So we saw you in that really epic immunity challenge, and I was saying last night on the podcast, I think that was one of the best all-time challenges that they've ever done on the show, and you seem so confident. For 3 hours, you're going to win this. You're telling Christian you're going to lose. But then he starts talking. And from the episode, it was very fun the way it was all put together. And it looked like that what he was saying was actually having an effect on you. Was any part of that true, or was that sort of just a colorful way to put it all together?
No, yeah. Christian, like, I keep saying this again and again and again. He was such a beast in that challenge. Like, I had no idea. People were like, did you expect Christian would win? And it's like, in the game of Survivor, like, immunity challenges are anyone's to win. And so that one in particular, Christian just really thrived. He, like, got in my head. You're right. 3 hours in, it was kind of, everyone was just trying to go into this mental zen, and then Christian just had this wave come over him, and he just was talking to Jeff. He was making everyone crack up, and meanwhile, I'm over there. I'm trying not to say a word, trying to zone out, and it got to me, like, mentally. It was just mentally exhausting. I think it was a combination of mental exhaustion and then Christian, but mostly Christian. He played me in that challenge. It was sick.
Now, everybody was coming for you because you were such a target and you'd done so well in the earlier challenges. Do you regret giving 100% in all those earlier challenges because it raised your threat level?
The Survivor answer would be, the Survivor superfan would say, yeah, you're dumb for doing all the showdowns in the beginning of the season, for always volunteering, for always giving it 100%. And then my personality is like, I'm a competitive dude, and most people would die to even have the opportunity to go out there and go on the show. And so I wanted to do I wanted to like make myself proud and go out there and give everything 100%. So like me making myself more is a bigger threat by giving it 110% every single challenge. Like, yeah, it's not the smartest move. You can argue that. But on the contrary, I was like, dude, I would kick myself in the butt if I didn't give it 100% and if I didn't really try. And so, I mean, it's just a testament to my game a little bit. It's like go 100% in the challenges, but then also have a good social game to make people feel comfortable enough, make them feel like they're on your side so they don't vote you out. But yeah, to answer your question, I wouldn't have been happy with myself if I didn't give it. Because it was such a fun part of the game is to do the challenges.
Now, we saw you sort of being the person who was putting together this group where it was three Davids and three Goliaths, the Strike Force, as Christian called it. There was one version that had Mike. There was another version that had Kara. Ultimately, neither version ended up coming together.
It never
deployed, and it seemed like that you were at least interested in maybe the first version more than the second version. In your mind, why didn't this work?
The first version, for sure. I honestly take ownership. I don't know if it was just my own. I take ownership of the fact that I shouldn't have written Christian's name down if I wanted it to work. I mean, when you write someone's name down, it's showing where your loyalty lies. And so for me to stab Christian in the back like that, it probably hurt him. And so it probably made him question our connection. I know further in the game, Christian really did trust me. But I think it was just having everyone on board. You know, it's six players, and I know Nick clearly had his own motives. He had his own game plan. Gabby had hers. Christian really gave me the sense that he wanted to game with me. And then I knew I had the Goliaths, like myself, Kara, Allison, and Mike, interchangeably, were all like really close with one another. So I think it was just tough getting that many Davids with separate plans of their own. To all vote. And the thing is, like Nick, I didn't realize like he would have been going against Davey. Like if, you know, Davey wasn't in the Strike Force and Nick and Davey were such big allies. So I guess maybe too big of a group, or I don't know.
In that vote where John ultimately went home, we saw you tell Nick about how the vote was going to be for Christian. And then things ended up coming back around where then they play the idol for Christian. Did you know that it was Nick that had then revealed what you had told him? And did you guys have a conversation about that after?
Yeah, I told Nick because I wanted to stay in Nick's good graces. I felt like close enough to Nick. I was like, I think I can tell him. And it was also a test. I'm like, well, if he doesn't tell Christian, then he's clearly with me. And he did. Was I expecting him to tell Christian? And was ultimate plan? No, I'd be lying if I said I did. I mean, I warned him. I knew wholeheartedly when I told Nick, I said, I was like, you could totally go to Christian right now and blow this whole thing up. I said that.
Yeah.
And when Christian was saved, I was surprised. I truly did think he was going home, but I was also I've been telling everyone, I was actually really stoked. Christian was a smart player. He was a huge threat, and he was someone I wanted by my side the whole time. So I wasn't mad that he got saved. I was actually really amped.
But did you go to Nick and be like, dude, what are you doing?
Oh, after. Yeah, I mean, Mike had also, they didn't show, Mike had also warned Nick as well. It was Mike and I together. Mm-hmm. And so I know Mike was really bent out of shape because he felt betrayed by Nick. But Nick and I talked. I was like, well, rightfully so. I was like, I gave it to you. Like, I can expect nonetheless out of someone on Survivor. So I didn't go to him and say anything. I was just like, I would say I was a little surprised, but I didn't go to him after and be like, dude, what are you doing? I was just like, all right, it is what it is. Christian's still here and like sick. I mean, I was glad he was still there.
Okay. So on last week's show, we saw where Dan ultimately goes home. The vote gets stolen, and then ultimately we see the idol nullifier get played on Carl. You and Kara end up voting for Angelina on that vote. Was that a change that you guys made on the fly, and was Allison supposed to be voting with you guys?
Allison was voting with us. Me, Allison, and Kara were 100% solid. We're like, yo, whatever way we, like, we're all voting together tonight, essentially, is what we said. And we were so torn between Christian, and we were torn between Angelina. Because on one hand, if we vote Angelina, it's like, okay, great, we're playing with the Davids. Like, this is it. And then the Christian thing, he was a threat. We're like, do we really try again? Like, we were so back and forth all day. When Allison's vote was stolen, it was solidified. We looked at each other. We're like, oh, yeah, there's no doubt now that we need to vote Angelina. A lot of people said, are they saving face? Yeah, of course we were saving face. That way, when we went back to camp, we're like, hey, we voted Angelina like we said we would. For them, there was no really way of telling. The fact they stole that vote, it's like we kind of had no choice.
Mm.
So I guess for our loyalty to be really trusted, they would have had not steal the vote. And then, I mean, would we have voted Christian? I don't know. Like, it's really tough to say. I mean, you know, like sitting there, it's like minute to minute. We'd go back and forth. We'd be like, Christian, no, we can't do Christian. We need to do Angelina. So it was a moment where Kara and I looked at each other. We're like, yeah, there's no doubt. We need to do this. We need to vote Angelina, write her name down.
Okay. So I want to ask you about something that I think a lot of the fans want to know about. So there, coming into the season, there was a lot of rumor swirling around you because of a post that was made to social media, and then it ended up getting picked up in the news. And then I think a lot of the Survivor fans, I think myself included, came in with a certain perceptions of you coming into this season. Can you talk a little bit about what happened there?
So I'll say this. Number one, like, it's obviously unfortunate that that's been the main point of contention for the entirety of my Survivor experience. I take full ownership of it. It is, it happened, and I apologize. But it's unfortunate because I believe in social media in today's age, things go around so fast that I just feel like things can be misconstrued. I have the utmost respect for the game, for Jeff, for the opportunity. You know as well as I do how hard it is to get on the show, and then to have the opportunity to go out there and be a part of, like, the most thrilling experience ever was, like, dude, I was stoked. I've watched the show since I was in middle school. So if anyone questions, I have so much love for the show, so much love for Jeff. He's the most rad dude. And, like, I don't want my Survivor experience to be centered around that. But I do know that what will never be taken is, like, I do have that experience. I got to go out there. I got to play such an epic game. And I just have so much respect for the people at CBS, like, how much work goes into it. I think things can be misconstrued, and people's perceptions can be kind of steered one way based on what one thing says
All right, Alec, well, it's really cool that you have come away with that perspective on the whole thing, and I just want to say I really appreciate you coming on with me today.
Yeah, I appreciate you, Rob. Thank you, man.
All right, there you have it. Alec Merlino here on the Survivor Exit interview. I can also confirm for you this morning that Alec will not be at the Survivor reunion coming up next week. And, obviously a disappointment for him. Personally, probably not as big of a deal as it was in the past, because I'm not necessarily sure that we would even hear from him based on the way that the Survivor finale reunion specials have gone, where maybe we'll talk to probably people that are in the top four or five and, a question here or there. So it's not necessarily like he was going to be, answering a bunch of questions, but definitely, it is, a big thrill for the Survivor players to get out there. But I will say that Alec does seem pretty remorseful about the whole situation. And, hopefully people in the future, learn a little bit from Alec's mistakes. And I thought that Alec was very fun and a treat to watch on the show. Before we get to talking to Carl, let me also quickly thank one of our sponsors here for the Exit Interview podcast. Those are our friends over at Canvas People. Of course, holidays are around the corner. People are looking for lots of great gift ideas, and canvaspeople.com has got you covered, because you can get a very special gift for the special people in your life when you check out Canvas People, because they print your favorite memories on canvas and turn them into works of art that add a beautiful touch to your home. We have so many pictures on our phone and we put them on Instagram, and it's like, okay, we get some likes for a day and then it's, you forget about them. Why not put them up and decorate your home? It's such a thoughtful gift for your friends and for your relatives this time of year. I know my wife and I have been very big proponents of Canvas People. My wife goes crazy with all so many pictures of my kids around the house, and of course for relatives as well. It's always a big hit with Canvas People. You can get your favorite memories printed to cherish in beautiful prints that look great on any wall. And right now, for our listeners, they've got a limited holiday offer. CanvasPeople.com is offering their 11 by 14 canvas photo for free. That's right, for free. Normally, they are $69.99. But right now, for this week, you'll pay nothing. You just pay the shipping and the handling to get it to you. To get your free canvas, text RHAP to 797979. You just pay the shipping and the handling. The offer won't last. Text RHAP to 797979. That's the word RHAP to 797979. Message and data rates may apply. Okay, we have a second exit interview for you here today. And that man is Mr. Carl Boudreau, who is here with us on the line. Carl, good morning.
Hey. What's up, Rob?
How you doing, buddy?
Oh, I'm great, man. I'm blessed, man.
Yes, Carl. Nice to talk to you. You're doing okay after the big blindside. Which hangover was worse, this one or the one after the reward challenge?
I'd have to say this one, man. The blindside was worse, man. I can handle my hangovers from drinking.
All right, Carl, could you talk a little bit about this plan that came together where you guys wanted to vote out Allison, but then not include Gabby on that vote?
Well, the thing with that vote out, man, is, you know, we wanted Allison, but the reason why we didn't really want to include Gabby is because Gabby had gotten super close with Allison, and we knew that, you know. I knew that it was just a matter of time before Gabby flipped on us, so I was trying to initiated to get Allison out before, you know, Gabby got the chance to actually flip. But as you can see, it didn't work out in my favor, and she got the upper hand on me.
So when you talked to Christian, were you confident that he was not going to go and say anything to Gabby, or was that something that you were concerned about in the moment?
No, we were confident that he wouldn't say anything. I mean, you know, throughout the whole time, we were a tight group, you know. Me, Davey, and Nick, you know, we went above and beyond to save Christian multiple times. So we felt, you know, we're close. We should be good. But it was definitely a surprise that Christian turned on us. I'd have to say it hurt it more that Christian flipped versus Gabby, because, like I say, we stuck our necks out for Christian, you know. So for Christian to turn and flip on us, that kind of hurt it.
In your mind, did you feel like that was a major betrayal for Christian to then go back to Gabby and work with the other side?
Oh, absolutely. I felt that it was, because, I mean, kind of sort of like what Dan touched on, you can trust the people that you've been aligned with for so long versus flipping over and then becoming the bottom of the other side, you know? So I myself, personally, I don't think it was the smart thing to do, but I mean, we're all playing an individual game, and they felt that that's what they needed to do for their gameplay. So my hat's off to them.
So last night in the double episode, it really started to come out that you were being considered the godfather. A number of the survivors were referring to you as the godfather. If I may call you Don Carleone, did you hear that while you were out there?
No, Rob, that's what's funny, man, is I never, ever heard that term, you know, brought to my attention. So seeing that last night, you know, it was funny, man, but at the same time I was flattered, like, you know, people seeing that I was actually playing the game, you know what I mean? So it was pretty cool. But no, I never had no clue that people were seeing me as the godfather. But
Like I say, I mean, I'll take it. I mean, you play Survivor. How many people have you ever known on any season to be named the Godfather?
Not many.
You know, so yeah, I mean, I'll take it.
Do you feel like that coming off of playing the idol Nullifier and then, you know, taking the credit for it at Tribal Council, do you feel like that might have raised your profile too much where then you started to become the person that people were looking at as the guy who's running everything?
You know, I kind of felt that if it did raise my profile, it would only raise it with the Goliath tribe. You know, I did not expect it to be thought of that way with my David alliance. I thought, you know, that we were a close-knit alliance, you know what I mean? So I wasn't worried about it as far as on the David perspective. As far as the Goliath side, yeah, they might have seen it that way, but I mean, it didn't really matter to me at that particular point in time. I mean, we all, you know, playing a game, you got to make big moves in order, you know, to get to the end and ultimately have the best story to possibly win you the $1 million.
Now, in the first hour last night, we saw that you were really pushing for Alec to go home because he was such a physical threat. But then, you end up going out right after him. In hindsight, do you feel like that maybe keeping Alec around might have been a better way to go because he was somebody that you had ties to from being on Vuku together?
In hindsight, no. I still think that getting rid of Alec was best because, man, when I tell you a challenge beast, Alec was definitely a challenge beast. I consider myself being a very athletic person. You know what I mean?
I saw those George Gervin like, finger rolls.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, man. I still can shoot a few hoops now. Don't get me wrong. But, yeah, man, Alec was a beast, man. That kid has a lot of go in him. And I knew that it was no way that I was going to ever win an individual immunity as long as he was in the game. So getting rid of Alec was probably best for my gameplay.
What if it was basketball one-on-one? Could you beat Alec?
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
What about Davey? Davey can dunk.
I can beat Davey in basketball one-on-one as well.
Carl, going back to the immunity challenge from last night. So you have to spell a word. They say, okay, here's 13 blocks. So we're looking for an 11-letter word. You come up with perceptions, which is an 11-letter word. And they say, no, we're not looking for that word. Now, looking back at it, do you feel like, hey, maybe I should have got immunity?
I mean, you can kind of say that, but then at the same time, you can say no, because Jeff and production had the word of choice in their minds, you know? Mm-hmm. So it was up to us. Now, you know, of course, we didn't know what the word was. So, you know, that could have kind of sort of went either way. I mean, hey, it would have been cool if they said, yeah, that's 11-letter word. Carl, you win immunity.
It wasn't what we were thinking of.
You know what I'm saying? But exactly. You know what I'm saying? And I was on the line of, you know, words that kind of sort of had to do with Survivor. You know what I mean? Like, like when I came up with the word perception, for me, it was like my perception of what others are thinking in the game or so on and so forth. You know what I'm saying?
No,
so
it made sense.
That's how I was able to get that word. Exactly. You know, so, but you know, the hardest part about that situation for me was when Jeff said my word, I mean, out loud, and everybody heard it. And once everybody heard it, it basically just targeted them on the path to coming up with the right word.
In the first hour, there was a lot of talk about, oh, these are the people that sat out and ate the nachos. Did you feel like that too much was being made about the nachos from the sit-outs in the first challenge?
Oh, yeah, absolutely too much was being made of it. Because before I chose to sit out, before we even went to reward challenge, I had spoken with everyone in my alliance, and I let them know, look, man, I'm hungry. I don't have the strength. I don't have the mental strength. You know what I mean? I got to do something. If there's food at this reward, do you guys have a problem if I sit out? All of them gave me the okay to sit out, you know, so I felt confident in sitting out. And then when we got there and I seen the challenge, I really was like, there's no way in hell I can beat anybody and standing on this perch. Like, I just don't have it in me to do it. So I took that chance because my tribe gave me the okay. And I mean, I sat out and got me some food.
Going back to the reward, do you feel like that you gave up any critical information to Kara when you guys went on the reward after the reward challenge in the second episode?
No, I thought me and Kara were pretty cool. You know, I had first got to talking with Kara on the Buku Beach when I came back from exile. So I thought me and Kara kind of sort of had a connection. You know, they kept saying that they wanted to blur the lines, you know, or what have you. So I thought that was the perfect opportunity to start. I mean, you know, we had proven to them that we weren't going down without a fight, you know. So I figured they seen we were fighting, we were playing. Somebody from that side ultimately was going to have to come over because, I mean, the numbers were even, you know. Well, at that point, we hadn't taken over the numbers. So I figured, you know, anybody would be scrapping to try to stay in the game. So for me, I felt as close as with Kara than I did with, say, Allison or Mike or what have you. Mm-hmm. So I thought maybe talking to Kara to try to bring her over was a cool thing to do, but turned out it wasn't.
Now, you were able to work very closely with Angelina, and it seems like from the episode that you guys were able to, you know, bond very quickly after a couple of the Goliaths voted for her. Was that a relationship that had been building from the whole course after the merge, or did that really come together after the Goliaths voted for her?
Actually, me and Angelina had clicked right after the merge. It was just something about Angelina, you know, that I felt I could work with her and she felt the same towards me. So we bonded right after the merge. It just so happened that, you know, neither of us could really make that type of move at that particular point in the game because she had to work with her Goliaths. You know what I mean? They had the numbers, so she had to do what she had to do. But then when it got down to it and it was that time, I knew it was going to be no problem, you know, of me and Angelina working together as you've seen in the episode.
So if you had to do those last couple of days in the game over again, what would your plan have been to be able to make it through that vote? Would it have been a different target or would it have been to not tell Christian about what was going on?
Well, looking back at it, I mean, I would have to say not telling Christian. But then at the same time, if you don't tell him, then
you need the
then how do we get the votes to pull it off? You know what I mean? So if I could have done anything different, maybe I should have talked to Davey and Nick and maybe had one of them talk to Christian, perhaps. Maybe they would have taken it better coming from Davey or Nick versus coming from me. So if I had to change anything, I would say I would have went back and talked with Davey and Nick and possibly got one of them to you know, talk to Christian and try to win Christian over on it. But we had no clue that Christian and Gabby were going to flip on us. So, It's, you know, it's kind of hard to say at this point. But just looking back at it, then, yeah, I would have had Nick or Davey go talk to Christian instead of me talking to him.
Could you have put the vote on Mike instead, where then you could have kept Gabby in the loop for at least one more vote?
We could have, but at the same time, like, Gabby was close with Allison. Well, I knew that Nick and Mike had a bond. So it was kind of, you know, it was kind of one of those situations where it was tricky. It was like, which one do you go at? Because you're going to piss somebody off on in my alliance, you know, because they had those other bonds with those people. So it was like, which one do you go after? And for me, I felt as though Mike wasn't really a threat is how I felt. Mm-hmm. I felt that Allison and Gabby were more threats than Mike was. You know, so that's why I chose to go after Allison and not Mike.
Last week, we saw you use the idol nullifier and use it successfully against Dan. Was there any hesitation about using it at that particular vote? Were you thinking at all to maybe save it for down the road?
I mean, I had thoughts, but for me, working with my alliance, it was no hesitation. When we talked about it, initially, Gabby did not want me to play my idol nullifier. They just wanted to go with Nick's filler vote. But when I sat and thought about it, it was like everything has to be lined up perfectly in order for Nick Stiller vote to work. I mean, if you go back and count the votes, 6 votes on Dan, 3 votes on Christian, 2 votes on Angelina. Mm-hmm. I don't play the idol. Christian goes home. Mm-hmm. So ultimately, in that tribal, the idol is what did it. You know what I mean? By me playing it, Dan playing his idol, me playing my idol nullifier, Dan goes home. Because if I don't, then Christian goes home and we lose a number. So, I mean, I didn't hesitate. We knew we knew that Dan had an idol. So it was you know, it wasn't really hard to do that because we've seen how Dan's game was. I mean, love you, brother, but we've seen how Dan's game was. So it was pretty easy play, you know what I mean?
Okay, last thing, Carl.
But
we know that the Davids were sharing all these, you know, who has an advantage. So we saw Davey and Nick go out and go look for the idol, and then Nick ends up finding it. Did those two guys tell you that they had come back with another immunity idol?
Yeah, man. No, I had no clue that they found another idol, man. No clue at all, you know. So that was a surprise seeing that one, because I had no clue. Now, at the same time, I like to think that if I stayed in the game,
then they would have told me. They would probably tell you the next day.
Then they would have told me. Absolutely. I feel that 100% that they would have told me.
All right, Carl. Sorry to see you go. Hope one of these days we can have a beer.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm not going to get wasted like I was out there, but we can definitely have
neither.
A beer.
Me neither.
Yeah, no. Can't get wasted. And make sure you replace that bill you got with
bing. Yeah, bing. Yeah, we'll get into that one.
Absolutely.
All right. Carl, take care, buddy. Bye.
Hey, appreciate you, Rob.
All right, take care. You too. Bye. All right, everybody, there you have it. Carl Boudreau there on the podcast. Very, very fun, Carl. Sad to see him go. He was a super good sport last night as well when he went out of the game. So good job there. And nice Ponderosa video. Got to see Mrs. Carl as well on the Ponderosa videos for this week. So be sure to check that one out. So what we're going to do next is I'm going to throw it to the This Week in Survivor History quiz that we recorded earlier this week. Week where I got to take on one of the standouts from Survivor Ghost Island. I took on Jacob Derwin in the This Week in Survivor History quiz.
Twish.
All right, here we are for the second time this week with our special edition of Twish on a double exit interview edition. Here today, let's bring back the embattled host of This Week in Survivor History, Jordan Kalish.
Not embattled. Never been embattled. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yes. Jordan, how are you today?
I'm doing well. It's been a little bit of a Twitch marathon this week, having recorded the last episode that you heard 2 days ago, and now we're doing another one today. But doing well though. Really, you know, keeping up with all these This Week in Survivor History questions.
Okay, I'm very excited for today's guest, Jordan.
Me too. I'm very, very excited as well. This is someone who, since last season on Survivor, I've been thinking this would be a perfect person to have on the Twitch quiz. This is a contestant from Survivor Ghost Island, and it's also a contestant from the Chapara tribe on Survivor South Brooklyn. We have Jacob Derwin.
Yay, what's up, man?
What is the Chapara tribe on Survivor South Brooklyn?
Oh, that was a fun little game, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, a little, you know, one of these 1 day Survivor games where the starting tribes were actually the tribes from Survivor All Stars. I happen to start on the Saboga tribe.
Okay, all right. Well, hope it worked out better for you, Jacob, than it did for me.
Barely. Okay. I could say barely.
It did. I wouldn't say barely. I think it did much better.
Please, right. No spoilers of Survivor South Brooklyn.
No spoilers.
Please. Jacob, nice to have you here. Have you started working on a reprise for Mira from Manhattan where you say, "I played Twitch with Jordan Kalish"?
Rob, I can guarantee you're the only person who's ever sang my own melody back to me. That's an interesting experience. That's a new one. I can get to work. I can put that on the next album for sure.
Put that in there. That's the bonus track for everybody.
The hidden track.
Yes.
At the end, you don't know it's there until.
Yes. Jacob, how are you?
I'm doing all right. Enjoying the holiday season, trying not to freeze, and hopefully our New York City weather doesn't destroy me before I can destroy it. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Okay. Well, I'm so excited that you're here. So excited that you're up for this. And then hopefully this will be some redemption and it will be the first victory. Has anybody from Malolo beaten me in This Week in Survivor history yet, Jordan?
No, I can confirm that that has never happened.
Okay.
Who else has played?
Nobody, but you're the first. You're the first Survivor Ghost Island contestant to appear on Twitch. You were on Ghost Island, and now you've matured into a Twitch contestant.
Oh, look at you!
Oh, look at that! Everyone's about to find out how much of a fake fan I am. That's what's about to happen. That's what's
hey. You know what they say? F fake fans. You know what I'm saying? They got a T-shirt for that and everything.
Yeah,
I will
sure.
say that Rob, you're on a 4-week losing streak. Mm-hmm,
yes.
So Jacob, I think this could be something that you can handle here.
Yeah,
I don't know, man. I don't have a great winning streak myself, so we'll see.
The rubber is going to meet the road this week. We'll see what's going on. Okay, before we get to the quiz, let me take a moment and thank our sponsor for the This Week in Survivor History segment. Those are our friends over at the Blink Home Security System. And not only is the Blink Home security system incredible. They're also having a great extended Black Friday indoor camera sale. Blink Home Security is having a massive sale right now on the indoor cameras. For a limited time, you could save up to 33% off their already extremely affordable camera systems. Blink indoor cameras have HD video and are 100% wire free, so you can place them anywhere in your home. They are incredibly easy to set up. The Blink Home Security cameras have two AA batteries that they use to run for up to 2 years and are incredibly easy to set up. Nicole and I have them up and running so we can keep an eye on our kids, keep an eye on pets. You can see if Jacob Derwin is coming into your house and putting all of your food into his sock and then dumping it back out. Whatever you want to see going on at your house, you can check it out with an easy-to-use app that you can hear the audio as well. You can also get alerts sent to your mobile device to be able to tell you when motion is detected on the free Android, Apple, and Amazon Fire tablet app, where you can view the video from anywhere around the world as long as you have an internet connection. Blink gives you peace of mind no matter where you are. From downloading the app to onboarding the sync module and adding your cameras, the entire process takes only 5 minutes or less. To get yours, go to blinkforhome.com/robpodcast. That's blink, F-O-R, home.com/robpodcast. And don't forget about the extended Black Friday indoor camera sale. All right.
Yes, 5 minutes or less originally, how long you wanted the Twitch quiz to be every week.
Yes. So only 8 times longer than we originally anticipated. Okay. Jordan, what are the categories for this week?
Okay, so the four categories that we have are Don't F with Jeff, Potent Quotables, Does Not Count, and You Must Be Faded. And just the way that this works, each of you will get to answer two multiple choice questions. You can choose not to hear the multiple choice options. If you're right and you don't hear the multiple choice, you get 2 points. If you're wrong, however, your opponent will get to steal a point if they are correct. If you do hear your multiple choice options, you get 1 point if you're correct and your opponent cannot steal. So Jacob, as the guest, you get to choose the first category.
Awesome. Well, the only one I remember right now is Don't F with Jeff, so we'll go for that one.
That's a good one to remember.
Yeah. Don't F with Jeff. We're going to go all the way back to Survivor Vanuatu. The episode is Surprise and Surprise Again from November 25th, 2004, and that's 14 years ago this past Sunday. Who did Jeff call out for not taking the immunity challenge seriously, in which the survivors were paired with their blindfolded loved ones?
Yeah, you can read off those options.
Okay. Was it A, Julie Berry, B, Amy Cusack, C, Scout Cloud Lee, or D, Leanne Slaby?
Oh, gosh. Who did he... Oh, y'all, for not taking it seriously? I love Vanuatu. That's a top season for me.
Great season.
I don't think he would have yelled at Scout. Didn't take it seriously. I'm going to... The last option was Leanne, right?
Yes.
I'm going to go with Leanne.
Leanne is correct. Jacob, you get a point there. Very nice job. Yeah, Leanne had her friend there, and they were sort of like laughing and joking around during the challenge. They were in last place the whole time. But she, you know, she made a comment at Tribal Council how she didn't really think she needed to win the challenge, but it turns out she did because she was the one blindsided in this episode. So little bit of foreshadowing there when Jeff calls her out. So
yeah, can we stop down for a second? I just want to ask Jacob a question, because I feel like that, I don't know if we ever talked about this. Now, you used to blog about Survivor, correct? In your yes. past life before you were a Survivor contestant?
Yep, long, long ago.
And you used to do that on the Inside Survivor website, correct?
We can speak its name, yes.
Yes, and it is not the Voldemort of websites, as far as I'm concerned.
Voldemort of Survivor blogs.
Yes,
yeah.
And I took a Harry Potter quiz recently, just so you know. And so what kind of stuff did you used to blog about?
Well, I was kind of brought on as like the first featured writer, one of the first three. And the blog that I started out with was called Next Time On. And it was kind of like me trying. It was OK. So like I found that most Survivor blogs, even though I love the show and I love, you know, parsing through all the tiny little details and the little editing things and reading really deep into things. Everything was really serious and intense. Mm-hmm. And I kind of wanted to write a casual blog from a serious fan.
Okay.
So the whole point of the blog was to like try and predict what was going to happen in the next episode using anything I might have noticed, but never trying to, the point was never to be right. The point was just to be like, well, I think this might happen because this happened, and that'd be interesting if this happened. And garnered a small following, and it was really just about having fun and getting hyped for the next episode between each episode. And along the way, I did some other features here and there. Like I would interview other reality contestants that were on different shows about what they thought about Survivor, like people from Amazing Race and stuff, and fun stuff like that.
Did you interview Mike White?
No, I wish I would have. I really love the guy. School of Rock was like a formative film for me. So hopefully he'll want to talk to me at some point in the future. I really do love that guy.
Okay. All right. Sorry, Jordan. I don't mean to interrupt.
No problem. No, that was all very interesting stuff. Sounds like you know, the point was not always to be right. It was just about having fun. Sounds like it was a precursor to Survivor Know-It-Alls.
Hey.
So, Rob, we have three categories remaining. We have potent quotables, does not count, and you must be fated. Which category would you like?
Let me go with does not count.
Okay, so we're going to go to Survivor Millennials versus Gen X. The episode is about to have a rumble from November 30th, 2016, 2 years ago tomorrow. Who received 4 votes negated due to an immunity idol play at the Tribal Council in which Twitch alumnus Zeke was voted out?
I'm going to hear the choices.
Okay, was it A, Will Wall, B, David Wright, C, Adam Klein, D, Hannah Shapiro?
I really don't recall. Even though I love all the Millennials versus Gen X, I do feel like the middle of the season is a little bit tricky for me to figure out. And I will say Hannah.
Rob, Hannah is correct. You also gained 1 point on this question. You are tied 1-1.
Okay.
So Adam Klein actually plays the idol here for Hannah Shapiro because he didn't know what Will Wall was going to do. It turns out that Will Wall did vote with them and they would have had a 5-4 majority anyway. But it's really, you know, with Will Wall's pendulum strategy, it's sort of hard to predict what he's going to do. And Adam Klein, another Twitch alumnus, I think, you know, made the move here that was probably the wise move, even though he technically didn't need to play the idol. And he won, so I guess it worked out. So you guys are tied 1-1. Jacob, you get to choose your category, either potent quotables or you must be fated.
Okay. I feel like I'll do better with the quotables. Let's go for that.
All right. So we're going to go back to that same episode of Vanuatu that we spoke about earlier.
Oh,
Eliza
wow.
won the reward challenge and got to spend 24 hours with her mom at the Alinta camp. As her mom was leaving, she gave Eliza the shirt off her back, who said she came out and stripped to her panties and left in only her bra. My kind of woman.
Oh, God, I actually think I know, but I don't want to risk it, so you can read the answers.
Okay, was it A, Scout, B, Chris, C, Amy, D, Jeff Probst?
I don't think it was Jeff. I'm pretty sure this is a Chris quote. I could be wrong. I'm pretty sure it's Chris quote, so I'm going to go with Chris.
Chris, unfortunately, is not correct. It was actually Scout who says that here.
Yeah,
so
classic Scout.
Probably a good move going for the multiple choice because Rob does not get to steal, but we remain tied here 1-1. Really, really fun little quote there. I think Scott had a lot of these little quips throughout the season that were pretty funny.
She did.
So Rob, there's one more question left and we're going to go to Cook Islands. The episode is You're a Rat. This is November 30th, 2006, 12 years ago tomorrow. It was also my 16 and a half birthday. So that's a thing.
16 and a half.
Yes, November 30th, my half birthday. In a confessional, who says that they want to throw up all over Penner's face after he flipped on the Raro Alliance?
Oh, damn it. I know this one.
Want to throw up all over his face.
I think it's Raro, actually. I think I just pronounced the tribe name wrong. It's Raro.
Okay. I definitely have some ideas, but let me get the choices.
Okay. Was it A, Parvati, B, Adam, C, Candace, D, at Pineapple Boy 27 on Twitter?
Okay. So I'm looking at Candace, Adam, or Parvati. I don't think that Parvati was that extra yet. And so I feel like that I'm between Candace and Adam. I don't know if it's the kind of thing Adam would say. So I will go with Candace. I feel like that she is that kind of firecracker that would throw up projectile vomit on Penner's face.
All right, so you say Candace. You heard the multiple choice, so Jacob is not able to steal if you're incorrect. Jacob, you seem to be pretty sure on this one. Is Rob correct here?
I think he is.
He is not. It's actually Parvati.
Parvati.
Yeah. So you're going to go into the final round, tied 1-1.
Parvati talks
multiple times.
Up on my face, I would not like that.
Yeah, she talks multiple times in this episode about how Penner's flip makes her want to puke, but only in this confessional does she talk about how she wants to actually puke on Penner's face, which sounds like it would not be a lot of fun.
Jacob Derwin would never projectile vomit on me.
It's one of the only things I wouldn't do.
this death match is going to be called Survivor Potpourri. There were a lot of memorable moments this week in Survivor history. Some of these you would even call legendary. I will ask you a question about some of these moments, and you will try to choose the correct answer from two options. So very simple game. So you're either it's going to be basically multiple choice between two answers. Four answers will be given during this round, and if you're incorrect, you may not gain any more points unless we go to a tiebreaker. Therefore, if you're incorrect in your first response, you open the door for your opponent to gain 3 points in this round. If there's a tie after four answers, we'll go to a tiebreaker. So you guys are tied. Jacob, you're the guest. The way that this is going to work, this was this is something Rob wanted me to do. It came from I forgot who at this point on Twitter. Jacob, you're going to give me a random number between 1 through 6, and this number is going to determine the order of all of the responses throughout this final round. So saving a little bit of time here. So Jacob, pick a number from 1 through 6.
Let's go 4.
4. Okay. So
you're open to improving the game.
I've always been open to improving the game. The rules of the game have changed so many times, and I think most of them have been improvements. So
Jacob, since you picked number 4, the game is played.
Yeah. Jacob, we're going to start with San Juan del Sur based on the fact that you picked number 4.
Right.
At the Stick to the Plan Tribal Council, who compares the confusion to looking into 3 jumbled up distorted mirrors all at once? Was it Baylor or Missy?
Probably Missy.
It was actually Baylor. So, Jacob, you do not gain a point there. And what this means is that if Rob is correct on the next question, he wins the quiz.
Love you, Bay.
Man, go for it.
And Rob, I know this is a rule that you wanted me to implement. I have not fudged this at all here. The next one in the order that was decided by Jacob is going to be Survivor Guatemala. Before Judd's famous, hope you guys all get bit by a freaking crocodile scumbags exit, who was the only person to vote with him at his boot tribal?
Okay, and I get 2 choices, right?
Yes, it was either Cindy or Lydia.
I don't remember this.
Essentially the only one not to vote for Judd here.
Okay, I will say it was Cindy.
Cindy Hall. She has a car. And Rob, you have a win here this week in Survivor history. You win the quiz 2-1. You're off the schneid. This is like a Jets-Giants matchup would look like here. Not a lot of points scored, but Rob, Jacob, I think you did a very good job. You seem to, you clearly know your stuff, even though you only got 1 point. And Rob... First win in about a month.
Yes. Well, thank you for bringing in Slump Buster Jacob Derwin for me.
that's what I want to be known as from now on, Slump Buster. That's the nickname I crave.
Jacob, I'm so happy that you're here. Do you have any thoughts on what's been happening with Survivor David versus Goliath?
Sure. I mean, I was super wary of the season going in because of the whole theme and hearing about the idol nullifier. There was like a lot of stuff that made me nervous. A lot of stuff. But I feel like maybe it's just the cast, or I think the production team's really putting in the extra time with the editing. This has really felt like a really special season. I've gotten to talk to a whole bunch and meet a bunch of the castaways, and they've all been really lovely. A lot of them are still kicking butt in the game. I'm enjoying watching, even if I'm not as as detail oriented as I used to be on the show. It's still really, really fun to watch, and I'm glad that the storms and all the drama there didn't hurt what it's becoming a really great season.
Okay. What are you working on these days?
What am I working on? I'm working. I am a preschool music teacher.
Music teacher. Wow.
Yeah. I'm working in a synagogue preschool. And on top of that, I'm working on developing an audio drama, like a fiction podcast, with a cast of wonderful actors. This show is going to be called Doveport, and we're midway on production on that. And I will send the word out when it's complete and getting out there. If you want to
please do
keep up to date, you can follow me on the social media. Thanks.
This audience loves podcasts. For the most part, from what I understand. And
I hope so.
So tell me, is this something that you've written? Is this a Jacob Derwin original? Or are you working with a team here?
Yeah, I basically had a lot of time this summer, and I've been listening to a lot of wonderful fiction podcasts and stories, audio stories, kind of old-fashioned radio telling.
Yeah.
And I decided to try my hand at it. So I spent the summer writing pretty much 12, 13 episode screenplay, well, I guess radio play, and compiling a bunch of my friends who are also actors and voice actors. And we just kind of got working on it. So it's an original. It's pretty much made from scratch. I'm producing the whole thing myself, hopefully with a little bit of help from my friends. And we'll see what happens. It's a first try at something I think is pretty cool, and I hope people like it when it happens.
Yeah, well, that sounds very interesting. And, let me know if there's anything I can do to, help you out when you get closer to launch.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Okay. Jordan, do you have any other questions for Jacob?
Jacob, we always ask this question here on This Week in Survivor History. Who would you guess is the first survivor you ever followed on Twitter? Unfortunately, you can't gain another point from this question, but who would you guess?
Whoa. Crap. Well, I got Twitter in like 2009, probably. That's a crazy question, man. It was probably... This is insane. I've never thought about this. It was probably either Rob or Steven, to be honest, because I was listening to the podcast pretty young. But if not that, I don't know. I would guess either Rob or Steven. Yeah, probably.
So it was actually a friend of Rob. It was Ethan Zahn.
Oh, that makes sense. I just realized you had to scroll all the way back through all my followers.
Yeah, I had to scroll through. You follow 999 accounts on Twitter, but I mean, to be fair, it takes like a minute to scroll through that many.
That's impressive.
He's a pro. He does it. He does it every week.
I do it every week.
I could have just checked that in that time I waited. I don't know why I lied. I didn't just lie and check. I don't know why.
Yeah. Well, again, it's not a question that counts for the quiz. It wouldn't really benefit you either way. But yeah, Ethan Zahn, and then followed by someone we spoke about a lot today, Jonathan Penner. So
yeah,
some,
that makes
some good
sense.
Follows there.
And I knew like Cochran, I liked that Jacob Derwin.
Yeah, man, been a fan forever.
I'm going to guess Leanne Slaby.
she's
very funny on Twitter, I will say.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The great That's Twitter funny. Presence, Leanne Slaby.
It looks like you actually followed Camp Eisner before you followed any Survivor contestant. So that's
hey, man, that's
as a big camp guy, I like, appreciate that.
Yeah,
man, that was my childhood right there.
Yeah, it was also the childhood
too much
of like
my adulthood too.
Half the people I went to school with.
There you go.
Okay, you could follow Jacob Derwin on Twitter. He is at Jacob Derwin. Why do you make your Twitter handle Big Stupid? I would like it better if your Twitter handle was Big Stupid Derwin. If you couldn't get Jacob Derwin. Yeah. But why are you Big Stupid?
I've considered switching them. I don't. I mean, Well, I mean, the true story is, do you know the Penn and Teller show, Fool Us? Have you ever seen the show on the CW? It's quite fun. And there was an episode where Penn Jillette referred, he's, you know, this wonderful magician. Mm-hmm. He referred to himself as the big dumb guy in the duo that he worked in. And for some reason that spoke to me, except I thought stupid was funnier. And I feel like it just fits the core two parts of my personality, being big and stupid. So yeah. I've been running with that ever since. And I don't know. It's just funny to me. And apparently I feel a need to advertise that. Yeah,
please don't get Jordan started on Penn Jillette, because he goes into a whole rant about how Donald Trump should have selected him to be the Celebrity Apprentice.
I wrote a whole blog on RHAP about how he should have been selected to be the Celebrity Apprentice.
He's still upset with Donald Trump for that.
Man, I've never watched the Celebrity
Apprentice. I'm upset with Donald Trump, yes.
I'm really okay with that. I mean, you know what? I'll appreciate Penn for his other work. I think that's what I'll do.
I think I've gotten over the whole mishire on the Celebrity Apprentice.
Okay,
it's very low down in my list of complaints.
Jacob, what's this cookie on your Twitter profile that you have like an airbrushed cookie with your face on it?
You're looking at the donuts. Yeah, those are donuts.
But where's the hole?
It's one of those
you've
donuts
patched
that's
the
like
hole filled. With no. Your face.
You've never had like a filled donut where there's no hole, or it's just the full, like, whoa, it's like the jelly donuts, you know, there's no hole, or like a Boston cream donut, whatever. Point is, a few years ago, I was going to miss Father's Day because I was going to a music festival. And so my sister and I came up with a plan, because at Dunkin' Donuts, or sorry, just Dunkin' now, you can
thank you.
Get. Yeah, sorry, you know, got to get branding right. You can print pictures on donuts for a few extra bucks. And so we printed a whole box of me posing on donuts so I could be there even though I wasn't there. And my sister took a video of it, and you could see my grandparents and everyone just cracking up as they opened the box, and it fills me with joy.
Yeah. I'm also on your Twitter, and it looks like you were hanging out with, is this a Pikachu, or is this a different Pokemon?
You're looking at Eevee. Yeah, the new Pokemon game came out, and I am a big old weeb, so I've been
You thought that was Pikachu, Rob?
Well, from Come the on. Crop, you can't see its head,
it's,
so.
Hey, man.
Yeah, but
it's okay.
It's not yellow.
It's not yellow? Right.
What are you talking about?
It's
gold. It's like it's like golden brown.
It's okay. It's okay. It's all right. Don't fight over it, boys. It's going to be all right.
Like it's just Pokemon. Pokemon shamer. it's very, very unbecoming, Jordan.
This salmon looks good. Who is this? Who made the salmon?
That's me, man. That was tonight's dinner, dude. Yeah.
And when you on the salmon, you have marry me already. You're talking to other, you know, potential mates. Marry
sure,
you because you can cook that. You can cook that salmon.
Yeah.
I thought he was talking to the salmon.
Yeah.
Yes. That too. I mean, either way, either would be good at this point. I think. I'm losing hope rapidly. No. There's jalapenos in that mango, and just ate those, and my lips are still on fire. I did this whole podcast on fire. I feel like I earned something for that.
What was this tonight? You ate this?
Yeah.
Salmon. Oh man.
Dinner. I just
wow.
Yeah, and just tweeting pictures of my food like a real millennial and. Being proud about
all
it.
All right. Jacob Derwin, he's got a lot going on. He's making salmon. He's making radio plays.
Yeah, man.
He's got donuts that have airbrush pictures of him on there. So
printed.
Yeah, printed. Follow him at Jacob Derwin. Jacob, so nice to catch up, okay?
Yeah, man, you too. Thanks for having me.
All right, take care, buddy.
Yes.
All right.
Thank you so much, Jacob.
All right. Thank you.
Jordan, what a week you've put in.
Hell of a week.
All right, we'll talk to you next time, okay?
Yep, talk to you next week, Rob.
Alrighty, there you have it. A jam-packed double exit interview. Jacob Derwin back on the right path in terms of winning a Twitch quiz. So what a jam-packed exit interview here today. So next up, I'm going to very quickly switch gears into talking with Todd Herzog here this afternoon. And so we'll have that podcast up for you guys on Thursday night. Then I will talk to you on Saturday. Rourke Luskin is going to be here in the studio. So make sure you get your feedback questions in for Rourke. Should be another fun one. You could do rob@thewebsite.com/voicemail, 323-282-RHAP. You can email us. I'll put a tweet up. So we'll get lots of feedback questions for Rourke. And then Over the weekend, we will also have for you the latest episode of Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, which if you have not been keeping up with that, I can tell you that this is the first time we are going to get into some Survivor content on Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast. That's the podcast where I, with my co-host, Akiva Winokur, we have a wheel of show ideas. We spin the wheel every single week and come up with a new idea for what the show is going to be. And we have a Survivor-based episode coming up for you guys, and that will probably be up on Saturday, and then have a bonus podcast as well coming up over the weekend before we get back into the wiggle room on Monday. So another jam-packed week. We're in the home stretch. We're inside of, you know, 20 days to the Survivor finale, and we are not going to let up at all down the stretch. So of course, thank you guys so much. Big thanks to our patrons making all of this possible. Rob has a website.com/patron for more information on how to get involved on everything we're doing with the Rob's Podcast patron community. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.